job. Good job. Good song. Good all the way around.
Yes.
All right.
Lucy came to me this morning. She said, I want to sing a song.
Amen.
I said, all right, we will.
Praise the Lord.
We've been singing this song back in the classroom. So,
can you see them, Brother Ed? Can you see them back there?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want a microphone?
Yes,
you
want one.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Rita,
won't you move out in front of them?
Yeah, right in front.
Right there.
Okay. We're trying to get it on film here.
Right up here, Miss Lucy. Up front.
Right there.
There you go.
Is it
good? Here you go. Here's your
microphone. Bless her, Lord.
You ready?
She's cute.
Back to school has never been more exciting. Unbox a new school year at Shoe Carnival.
What a privilege to be.
troubled anywhere, on every side.
We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Oh, say. and diet-free and exercise-free weight loss method so powerful it can help you lose 40 pounds in just 4 weeks.
All right. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. Well, my soul, I don't know about my mind. I may have dementia. They've got a thing now they're trying to rig up where at the first sign of dementia, you'll be immediately exterminated, be put to death. They're practicing over in the other countries. Of course, it'll be here for long.
Yeah, right.
And when you have the first signs of dementia, it's set to automatically detonate and you just die. You're no longer contributing to society. So you're just kind of took out of the way. It's crazy. That's the hour we're living in. Like I said, I don't know about my mind. I don't know about my body. I may have stage 4 cancer. But I know this. I know it's well in my soul.
Right.
It couldn't be no better.
Right.
I mean, but I'm a, what do you call it, a perfect health, I guess. I got a perfect checkup from the neck up. Thanks to Calvary, praise God, He's going to present me better than any without spot, without blemish, in His sight with exceeding joy.
Right.
I guess there's going to be a lot of testimony in heaven, Brother Ed. He's going to say, well, I had to put up this thing over here drinking for like 34 years,
yeah.
Put up with him cursing, put up with him lying, put up with all the things he did, but it's worth it. Yeah, a lot of us going to come out, you know, and you know, we're kind of going to wonder, what all's going to be said? He's just going to say, forgiven. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Well with my soul, Brother Ed. Man, I tell you what, when I look at my accomplishments of life, none greater than that day, praise God, I reached Calvary, amen.
Amen, that's right.
So, praise God, I, in school, I never did fail a year. The teacher just didn't want to see me another year. I mean, they put my grade cards on the card. I mean, they were bad. And I passed every year. They said, I can't go to another year of that. It wasn't like I passed with honors. Then I passed because they just didn't want to see me another year. They said, you're going on next grade, buddy. But praise God, I passed with honors. Thanks to Calvary.
Amen.
Yeah.
All that was required of me was finished at the cross, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Amen.
George was singing this morning. Carolyn asked me if I had anybody, thought of anybody for a homecoming. I said, heck, I hadn't thought about homecoming. She said, it's always on the 3rd of September. I said, I've had my mind on other things. But we are looking into that now.
Yeah.
And I told her I was okay with anybody as long as they could sing or preach. I'll take either one of them, amen. But she said she thought that they might be able to handle that with just one person, get it all took care of, amen. I said, that sounds great to me. You take care of that. But we've been in our devotions, we were reading through our Bible again this year. We've done that straight for 17 years. I read my Bible through every year for 17 years. My mother passed away on my 18th time, and I laid my Bible aside in the devotional part of it. I still read my Bible. But every year I read it through, kind of like a devotion. Every year I read it through. This year I'm in the book of Jeremiah. And I have to admit, this year as I read the book of Jeremiah, my eyes was open to a lot of things that are going on presently in our day and time. And for lack of better words, I was stirred quite a bit to go in the direction that I'm preaching about today. And our text will be Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Looks like I just got one verse wrote down here. I thought I was going to read more than one verse. Let's take a look at that. Like I said, I ain't seen all yet, but I ain't far from it, I'm sure. Now, I took all this text out of another Bible. It looks different now. It's in this Bible. It's in a different place. But we'll take this one verse here. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. And the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. So you know who's doing the speaking here. Speaking by the prophet Jeremiah. Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I'm preaching today, ask for the old past. And we're going to try to get that out of this today. Pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Lord, you've given us together in your house. We thank you, Lord, for so many that are here. We thank you, Father, for so many that will be watching the service today by the means of the live stream. We thank you, Father, for those that will hear this message, Lord, across the world by the way of the internet. Lord, we got such opportunity, Lord, in the hour we're living in, Lord, to do good. And I pray, Lord God, you bless our efforts and help us, Lord, as a little church, Lord, to do all that we can, yeah, while we can, for the praise and glory, yeah, of the one that loved us and gave himself for us. Didn't just die for us. He got up for our justification. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. Was raised again on the third day for our justification. And thanks to him, Lord, we're accepted in the beloved. Thanks to him, our citizenship is in heaven. And we just praise you, Lord. And we pray, God, today for your help. Give us clarity of thought, Lord. We pray in this message. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Now, for a priest today, I want to say thank you for the good meal last Sunday. I thought that was great. I believe Jerry said we need to do that every Sunday. And I amen that immediately. Amen. But you know, that was really good. Thank y'all for the good meal, for the good fellowship. Thank you for allowing me to take a plate to my wife. She ate every bit of it. I just knew it'd be grumbling and complaining. She must have been starved to death. I don't know. But I want to thank you for that plate, Brother Ed. She wanted chicken, and all they had was fish, and I believe it was stew. And she ain't ever been that roast. Stew, whatever it was, she said the potatoes was good, the carrots was good, the gravy was good. Matter of fact, she ate it all. And thank you for that meal. I went to the bank this week, Sister Joanne. And this year, the contract went up this year with PayPal concerning eBay. I sell a lot of things on eBay. And we supplement our income that way a little bit. It's how you afford grandkids, amen. They don't call them grand for nothing. They cost their grand men some. They're worth every bit of it. But anyway, I went to the bank this week to see about opening up either a savings account or a checking account, because without that PayPal, well, we don't have an account no more. And it was really good. I said, well, we just click. I mean, granddaughter, she learned how to do it. She just clicked and he'd come in the mail. She thought it was Christmas all year round. I mean, buddy, it's hard to keep any money in there with grandkids, especially when they find out what the password is and how to find it and click on it, amen, Sister Bonnie. But anyway, I went to the bank and I was looking, and she said, you know, you can do this two different ways. You can do it by checking account, or you can do it by savings account. And I said, well, what's the benefit? She said, well, if you do it in a savings account, you'll only get to draw from it four times a month. I said, that won't work. She said, but if you do it with a checking account, you got to have like a $100 balance. I said, that's okay. And what she said when I sell is about, she said, when you turn 62, you get a discount. I said, can I hug your neck? I passed that 5 years ago. I mean, like 62 was way back then, you know what I mean? And I'm sitting there getting ready to turn 68. That don't sound like old to some of y'all, but to some of y'all that does sound old. But anyway, I probably will be going in that direction. But when she said you get 62, you'll get a discount, I said, hallelujah. I mean, when you get old, I mean, everything hurts, and every now and then you get one of them right there you didn't see coming, amen. We're preaching about ask for the old past. Now, I'm soon to be 68. Brother Denny, I can look back to better days. I can look back to my dad sleeping in the front yard in a chase lounge. I can look back to doors unlocked. I can look back, you know, we didn't have to have a loaded gun. I mean, if you needed an egg, you went to the neighbor, knocked on the door, they didn't shoot you. I said, what you need? A cup of milk, a cup of flour, some sugar? I said, no, mama needs an egg, and they put two in there, you know. I can look back. Me and Brother Jerry was looking at a song. Well, I've got another copy of it. I gave one copy of it there to Carolyn. I want somebody to learn this song. I can't sing. I ain't going to act like I can sing. But I want to read some of this song. Now, you don't hear this song no more, but I heard it when I was in school. Jerry said they recited it when they was in school.
Yeah.
But the reason you don't hear this song in school is contained probably in the fourth verse of it. But this song was wrote back in 1808. Better days. Back when America had depend upon God. You know, we didn't have so much money in the bank, but we had a lot of God in our heart.
That's right.
And we were more dependent upon God than we are today. Today we're kind of like the whales today in church, but we're rich. And we'd say we got no need of nothing, and really that's a far cry from truth, Sister Bonnie. This song says, "My country, 'tis of thee." Says, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty." You know, liberty is something I don't want to lose. I thank God for the liberty where Christ makes free.
Amen.
I mean, if they were to put me in prison, it would be like trying to imprison the wind. It'd be impossible. Even in prison, I'd be free. But that kind of freedom, they're not so much concerned about. They're concerned about another kind of freedom they're trying to infringe upon. But back in 1808, Samuel F. Smith said, "Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring." And you know, this stuff they're putting in our schools today, it's not about freedom.
No.
It's about infringing upon freedom.
That's right.
This bill that they pushed through, 2,700 pages in the bill. I'm going to let the Lord lead here this morning. I got some notes up there. Look like I ain't going to need them because I ain't never going to get to that.
Bless you, God.
I told them my dream last night, the craziest dream ever. I mean, for lack of better words, a bunch of people met together and wanted to have church, and we ended up going into a building where a hair salon was. And we got to get half the building. They had one half. They was over washing hair and working on hair. And we had the other half of the building. We was over praising God and praying and preaching. And they said, "Y'all stay on that side, don't you? Get over here." And we was trying to. Oh, crazy dream. But I will tell you this about that dream, Brother Danny. It had liberty. I couldn't believe how many verses of the Bible I was able to quote. And even now, in this message today, I realize I've got liberty. They're wanting to do away with that liberty.
Yeah.
They're wanting to take the Second Amendment out, which is the right to bear arms, because when they do, we'll be vulnerable. The whole purpose of the Second Amendment is to keep everything in check.
Amen.
I don't want to go. Right. I don't want to raise up in arms.
No.
But it looks like it's where it's headed. Amen.
It,
I mean, I'll tell you right now, liberty don't cost cheap. Take a look at Calvary. See how much liberty cost. Amen. I mean,
yeah.
Buddy, Jesus went through hell to give us heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. What a mighty. With a mighty, he triumphed over his foe. What is it? With a mighty triumph, he triumphed over his foes. I can't remember the word. But I tell you right now, buddy, he won the victory. He took his body through death to destroy him. Had the power of death, that is the devil, to give us the liberty, praise God, that we don't have to worry about dying no more. I never did like the thought of dying, Brother Eric. But you know what? I couldn't die right now if I wanted to. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me," John chapter 11, "shall never die." He said, "There'll be passing from death unto life." But I thought about dying a lot. So I did. I thought about dying. I thought about where I'm going to die, where I'm going to die, how I'm going to die. I don't think about it no more because it's impossible for me to die. I got eternal life. You understand what that means?
Amen.
That means you're passed from death into life.
Amen.
Hey, I don't have to worry about that no more. I got freedom over that. Amen.
Right.
He said, "My native country, thee, land of noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture." Boy, there's a word right there that probably they wanted to pick out.
Sure.
Thank God for rapture, Brother Ed.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm wanting to get out of this mess. Sooner the better. No wonder John said, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees. Sweet freedom's song, let mortal tongues awake. In other words, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How do we stay so silent? Y'all shout anytime you want to. And I preach right through it, amen.
Amen.
Don't worry about being interference. Or I tell you right now, I preached on the streets for 10 years. Once you do street preaching, you're ready for anything. I have to admit, I had some strange encounters up there. Let all that breathe partake. Let the rocks their silence break. You remember Jesus said, if these hold their peace, the rocks will immediately cry out.
Yeah.
Don't hold your peace.
Right.
The sound prolonged. Now, these three verses of this song, these three, there's stanzas of verses. I don't know a thing about music. But anyway, there's one more. This is the reason you don't hear this song anymore. I heard it when I was in school. Brother Jerry remembers this. Maybe some of y'all do too.
Yeah.
Here's why it's not there no more. Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing, may long our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might. Here's the red flag. Great God, our King.
Amen.
Don't tell me we don't have a Christian heritage.
Amen.
Don't tell me we're not a Christian nation. Amen. I mean, I know all this woke stuff and all this propaganda, bunch of baloney they're trying to push around. I tell you, buddy, I agree that we've lost sight of our history. I agree that we need to be teaching our children how this land came to be. But you know, there was oceans of blood shed so that we could be free in this country.
Amen, that's right.
I watched on the news last night a man that got here from Iran. He went into the public school, some kind of a PTA meeting or a school meeting, whatever, and demanded that they not teach his children critical race theory. He said, I want my children to be taught right. I want them not to be taught a bunch of lies. I don't want anything to be taught them that's not right. He had a right to voice his opinion. I agree with him. This message today is kind of personal a little bit. I noticed as I was reading through the book of Jeremiah this year, I noticed that God, He addressed the fathers and He addressed the grandchildren, but He left the children out.
Yeah.
Because they'd done been lost, Sarah. They had done beyond reachable. You see, we've raised up a generation like that.
That's right.
Yeah, this great country right here. We've been asleep too long.
Amen.
We've been negligent too long of things that shouldn't have been neglected. And you know what? The tares are coming up.
Yeah.
Now wheat is tares. And God, I'll mention this here in a minute, He addressed the fathers. And He also mentioned the grandchildren, but He didn't mention the children. See, I tell you, but you got to teach a child right. You got to train up a child in the way it should go, and that way, when it gets old, it won't depart. He said there. But look, before I get in this message, let me bring some things up to mind here. When Jesus was answering the question, "What sign shall be the sign of thy coming, the sign of the end of the world, and all of that," in Matthew chapter 24. He used an illustration called the parable of the fig tree. He said, learn the parable of the fig tree. When it's yet tender, put forth its vine. And he talked about, you know, that generation wouldn't pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now that fig tree sign is Israel.
Yeah.
Israel became a nation again in 1948. I know that's history. But I was born in 1954. It happened before my time, but it still happened. They became a nation in 1948. They got possession of their land in 1950. Okay, let's do some simple math here. Jesus said that generation would not pass till all these things be fulfilled, Patrick.
Yeah.
Generation. My mother and my father, they're done gone. I'm the next generation.
Yeah.
my grandkids are the generation, well, my children will be the generation after me, and then the grandkids will be the generation after them.
Right.
Okay, the Bible tells us, Psalm chapter 90, that our days will be 70. God changed the number of man's days, first of all. Man lived forever back in the book of Genesis there, Genesis chapter 6. He shortened the days down to 120 years.
Right.
Then he changed them again in Psalm chapter 90, and he said, man's days shall be 70. That's 70. I'm right close to knocking on that door. I'll be 68. He's back there laughing. He done went through the door. But anyway, you know what?
Been through it all the time.
Yeah. 70 is 70 years. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80 years. And then we're cut off and we fly away. I've never flown, but I'm going to. Amen. I'm going to take my heavenly flight. I wish Phyllis was here this morning. Her favorite songs, I'll fly away. I'm going to fly away. Amen. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 55, I believe it is, he said, oh, then I had wings like a dove, then I fly away. I'm going to have wings. I'm going to fly away, Eric. I can't fly on my own, but I'm going to be given a set. And I'm out of here. Amen. And if the rapture comes, does anybody know about the trumpets that's been going off? You can go on the internet and you can bring it up. Most of it's been like over in England, but it's so loud. I mean, it is so loud. The people that are there, these trumpets going off, they're trying to figure out where it's coming from. I mean, it's ear-breaking loud. Huge trumpet sounds. The Bible mentions in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, at the sound of the
trumpet.
Last.
Yeah.
Trump. Somebody said that was a reference to Trump. I don't know. At the sound of the last trump, these trumpets have been sounding off. Back when I pastored a church up in Columbia, I pastored there for about 5 years. I had never pastored before, and it was the perfect church for me. I run the gauntlet. I have to admit, there's a lot of challenges. Here, it's like, you know, this is kind of like spoiling you to death. Y'all the best church I've ever been a pastor of. But we had a lot of things up there to deal with, and God was gracious to help us with them. I'm talking about like my deacon grabbed someone up and do his going ahead right there in the church. I had to break them up. I mean, you know, just those kind of things. I love him to death, but he told me, he said, I can't ever get a short trip. I said, you're going to have to work on that, boy. I soon angry. I read him the qualification of a deacon. I love him. He's a great man of God. Been a big help to me. But anyway, even up there they heard some trumpet sounds. Some of them had heard them. I hadn't, but they had. They said, I've heard some of them. So I went online and sure enough, you can go on there and listen to them too. Just type in trumpet sounds being heard. It's kind of scary because you can tell it's not a man trumpet. Not a man-made thing. It got a lot of people's attention, including mine. But at the sound of the last trumpet, I'm leaving out of here.
Right.
Let them have all the trumpet blowing they want. There's one going to blow and I'm gone.
Yeah, we're gone.
That's right. Now right now, the river Euphrates is drying up.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
In Revelation chapter 16,
yep.
I think it's verse 12, I'm not sure. But it mentions about that great river, River Euphrates, drying up,
yes,
making the way for the kings of the east.
Amen.
Now, it's not completely dried up right now, but it's drying up. It's drying up that people actually can't walk across. It's been drying for quite some time. I think they said it started something like 2018. And even more so even today. China is building a road. It's called the Silk Road. Right now, they've done spent $700 billion building this road. Simple. They say this is the road that Napoleon used when he conquered the world. I don't know. But China is redoing it. They're making it like massive. The reason they're making it like that is to move a lot of machinery, a lot of warfare type stuff like tanks and military type stuff like that. I'm just telling you, the hour we're living in, you know, you might not want to think about how it used to be. You might not want to dwell on how it is right now, but I'll tell you right now, it used to be a whole lot better than it is right now.
Right.
That's one of the things I'm preaching this message about today. You can just look at the events of the day. You can look at what's going on right now in Afghanistan. I mean, just almost in what was it, like a month here, or a couple of weeks, whatever, they just come in and took all the land back. You see all that and you say, how is this happening? Me and Brother Ed was talking a little bit this morning before Sunday school. And I'm like him, I don't agree with some of the politics, the politicians we got right now. But for all I know, it may be the providence of God that really is putting all this together to fulfill what He said about the last day.
Amen.
He said it's going to get worse and worse under the end. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Oh, it's a good time to know it's well with your soul.
Right.
Peter's back there in the back. I'm glad she sung that song. I'm glad it is well in my soul. Amen.
Yeah.
Man, when it talks about that in Luke chapter 21, men's hearts failing for fear. I'm glad it's well in my soul, Sarah. I'm glad I'm good to go. I'm glad let the trumpets blow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well in my soul. Amen. All right, let's get on to preaching now. You know, we've seen in my day, we've seen somewhat of the fall of America. America used to walk 10 foot tall with God. I mean, they wasn't ashamed of the name of Jesus. They wasn't ashamed to mention God. I know in our money we still got in God we trust, but that's probably going to be changed pretty soon. They're either going to do away with the money or they're going to put in government we trust. But we've watched the fall of these churches. Right now, a lot of churches are going belly up. This pandemic, which I do believe was a product of man. I believe it was created in the lab. I believe scientists have backed that up. I mean, the chemical makeup of this virus, there's no other conclusion. It was designed in a lab. It was manufactured in a lab. And I believe it was planned. I believe it was intentionally unleashed on the world. And if you got ears to hear, you can hear a lot of this, what I'm talking about right now. And they was talking about the hand that Bill Gates had in it. And others, he wasn't alone. I mean, men like George Soros and Warren Buffett and stuff. I mean, they're just greedy of gain. They've got so much money. They're drunk. I mean, I don't know. They have mine. I'm glad, praise God, I got something better money. Amen. Man, I got the riches of heaven. Hallelujah. Got a better place to look forward to. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? It's well, my soul. Man, they just don't realize how poor they are, Brother Jerry. But anyway, the churches are being persecuted. Some of them are pulling down. Some of them are burning down. But we see a lot of things changing. The fall of the family. The family unit. So important. It's so important. You see, some time back, Communist China come over here to try to find out what made America great. And they went to the ball games, they went to the government buildings, they went, you know, to all the things that you think makes America great. And they didn't find out what made America great until they went in the churches of America. And when they went in the churches of America, not only did they find out what made America great, but they found the greatness of America was in its churches. And here's how they summed it up, Tammy. They said this: if America's churches ever cease to be great, then America will cease to be great. And the church has been under attack ever since. They've come in, you know, with people that are counterfeits, people, you know, hirelings, people that come in with a new Bible. Somebody said, what about that King James Bible? I'll tell you right now, I'm glad I got one, amen.
Amen, that's right.
Somebody told Brother Jack Laster, bless his memory, they said, Brother Jack, you need to get one of these new Bibles. Jack said, why? He said, it'll take your father. He said, well, listen, take me to heaven. They said, yeah. He said, I'm getting off right there. Yeah, that's as far as I need right there. I just need to get to heaven, amen.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They do a good job of selling the idea that they got something better. God says, seek ye out the old paths. Ask for them, amen. Oh, that river Euphrates, that Silk Road, $700 billion, and they're still spending money on it. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. The problem with the past we're on today, it's mentioned right here. God says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, they can hold no water." The problem of the hour we're living in is they forsook the house of God and they've improvised something that's not God, kind of like Aaron made them two gold calves, said, "Israel, these be thy gods that got thee out of Israel." That was not true, but they still worship those two golden calves. God said in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 7, "Thy children have forsaken me." And children need to be brought up right. He said, "The preachers have become wind, and the word's not in them," in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 13. You know, Paul kind of reflected on that just a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 through 4. He told a young preacher, Brother Eric, he said, "I charge thee by God and by Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." He said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, right, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, yeah, having itching ears, and be turned from the truth to fables."
Yes.
Right.
Ask for the old past.
Amen.
Now, I listened to Billy Graham preach this week. They had a special on there, buddy. I'll tell you right now, he done a good job.
Yeah.
We need some more of that.
Yeah,
more. Man, you know, really, the world somehow had an ear for it. I'll never be Billy Graham. I got to be Eddie Wade. But he done a good job. He informed a lot of people there's a better way, and that way is Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's a way, the Bible said, that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And the Bible talks about two ways there. Matthew chapter 7, it said, "Blows the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in there. There is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it."
Amen. That's right.
If there's any question about the way, Jesus summed it up in John 14, 6. He said, "I'm the way."
I'm the way.
Acts 4, 12, "No other name given." John 10, I think it's verse 2. "I'm the door. Any man enter in, he shall be saved." I mean, there's just no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
And hallelujah for Him. Amen.
Amen.
That's all I needed. I don't know about y'all, but praise God, it's well, my soul. But oh my, preachers have become wind today, windbags. And the Word of God's not in them, God said. Now, if anybody knows the Word of God ain't in them, God does know. I mean, buddy, you want to see some rebuke. Now, Jesus was love. He was God manifest in flesh. God is love. But if you want to see some rebuke, you read Matthew chapter 23 and you tell me what He thought about people that was wind. Amen? Man, He cut them to the core. He never let anything slide. I mean, He called it like it was. And He mentioned in verse 31 of Jeremiah chapter 5 that "my people love to have it so." You know, that's not a good commentary. And He mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10, the word is a reproach to them. See, the problem is, they don't have a relationship with God. And they're just kind of going through the motions, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. That it's not well with their soul. And you know what? They don't love God. They don't love church. And you know, they're standoffish. And you know, you got to tiptoe around them. I can't tiptoe. I'm sorry. He said in Jeremiah chapter 6, Carolyn, verse 15, he said they weren't ashamed, neither could they blush. What's a sad predicament to be in. I remember the first time I blushed. Somebody accused me of being a certain girl, her boyfriend. I remember blushing. I remember my ears burning, you know. I just got red-faced, you know. But, you know, I can't imagine not being able to blush. When you get used to certain things, and the world wants to do you like this, then you laugh instead of blush. You laugh it off. You just kind of joke. You make a mock. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. Instead of looking at it like it is sin, you just say, well, everybody else is.
Yeah.
Well, would you say that if Jesus was standing there? That's a good perspective to put things in. Somebody come up with, what would Jesus do? I'll tell you exactly what he'd do right every single time. He went about doing good, and he kept hearing, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased everywhere he went. Amen. He had the praise of God and the praise of men too. But he said they weren't ashamed, neither could they blush. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. They rejected God's word, and they rejected God's law. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19. I'm quoting a lot of verses here. But, you know, they didn't want nothing to do with God. They didn't want nothing to do with His law, His word, neither. And Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, Jeremiah said, it's not in man to direct his steps. I'm preaching on ask for the old past, and this point is about the problem. The problem is in man. That man won't let God be God.
Amen.
That man won't give place to the Word of God,
right,
nor to the Spirit of God, nor to the truth of the Word of God. That man just wants a life apart from God, and that's impossible because in Him we live and move and have our being. You're not going to get too far without God. Amen.
Right.
I got to put some feet on this message. I'm looking at the clock back there, and I've just been spinning my wheels. The problem is man is committing two evils. Man's trying to somehow live a life apart from God. The pleading, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 13, God said, I called early, but you heard not. I called you, but you answered not. Sarah lost her phone. She called me on the home phone. She said, Brother Eddie, I lost my phone. Patrick found it for her. She stuck it to the grill. They went to that cookout. At least she found it, amen. But you know what we do now? We get a call now. We look, see who it is.
Yeah.
See if we want to answer it or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bonnie, God said, I called early. And he said, you answered not. See what I mean?
Yeah.
We think that we've got an option here. To answer it or not to answer it. Everything now is about communication anyway. I called you early, but you heard not. I called you, but you answered not. He said, obey my voice, and I will be your God. Walk in my ways, that it may be well unto you. Revelation chapter 7, verse 23. That ain't right. What did I write Revelation there for? I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be Jeremiah. Must have Revelation on the brain. Yeah, that is supposed to be Jeremiah. Eddie wrote down to see what I'm talking about. Thank God for the Word of God. Man, just all they do is mess up. I'm supposed to put Jeremiah there. Yeah, in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, God said, obey my voice. I knew that didn't come out of Revelation. And I will be your God, and you will walk in my ways, that it may be well unto you. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. Somebody said, why is God doing all this to me? Trying to get your attention, amen.
That's right.
And I'm telling you right now, we need to walk in the light. He's in the light. We might need to make straight steps for our feet.
Yeah.
The way of transgressors. I went that hard way for 34 years. I know all about it. Listen to this. I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord. You notice children left out here. And with your children's children will I plead. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 9. That's a terrible verse right there. You know, somebody's left out here. Therefore will I plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Do you notice somebody got left out of that?
Yeah.
You see, I think we've done the same thing. I think we've lost a generation.
Yes, we have.
You can go to Walmart and figure that out. Yeah. And I didn't know things like that existed. I went out there and I had to take a second look. Are they from this planet? I mean, you can tell, buddy, something's happened between the generation I grew up in and the generation we got
Amen.
Now.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
Can you believe I used to have a flat top? I did. I got a no top now, but I had a flat top at one time, amen. A lot of things have changed, amen. God says, return unto me in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. God says, acknowledge thine iniquity or thy sin, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13. You know, we got a big deal today about wearing a mask, and I do believe that ought to be an option if you want to wear one. You know, one thing about freedom, if I want to wear one, I'll wear one. If I don't want to wear one, don't make me try to cry uncle. I'll tell you right now, I'd rather have the option of if I want to wear one, wear one, and if I don't want to wear one, then, you know, I'll do the social distancing, whatever. But don't try to force something on me. That's not really a good option. And you know what? You can hide behind a mask. I notice some of our politicians love a mask. I think they're laughing behind them. I don't know. But some of them love the mask. But you can hide behind a mask. That may work with man, but it won't work with God.
That's right.
He can see through the mask. Now, I didn't mention the problem, the pleading. Here's the last point. And this ought to be my specialty right here. My wife says I'm a procrastinator. The procrastination. No hurry, preacher. We see all the problems that are going on in America today, the division.
Yeah.
And we know all the pleading that's going on in America today. And you know, we got division, got distraction. And we all know the procrastination that's going on in America today that we will, just not now. And the devil loves that. You know, somebody told us a long time ago, and I thought it was pretty good. But Danny, they said all the devils got together, and Satan was there, and he said, "Look, we need to come up with some new devices." He said, "We're doing good, but I want to increase the numbers." Somebody talked about bigger alcohol places, and bigger drug houses, and bigger prostitution places, and all that right there. And boy, they all just yeah, yeah. And somebody said, "I tell you what, let's just encourage people to go to church." And the devil, inherited. I mean, he broke off a flame and screamed out, cursing, "What do you mean, encourage people to go to church?" He said, "Well, hear me out." He said, "We'll tell them to go to church. We'll tell them to get saved. We'll tell them to get the right Bible, sing the right song." And the devil's over there about to lose his mind, Sybil. He said, "Yeah, but we'll tell them to do it tomorrow." The devil said, "That's the best plan I've heard yet." The devil loves good intentions.
Yeah.
I had somebody told me that's going to be here today, and I wanted to be here today.
Yeah.
But I got to thinking there's a devil down here.
Amen.
You got to figure out a way around him to get here. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. Some of y'all have done it. But she's not here today, and I don't hold that against her. I've been there myself. But you know what? That will to go has to be, I'm going and show up, and I made it. But anyway, that procrastination. We see the procrastination going on in America. They say they're going to do this, but they do it not. We hear and we do not. And the Bible tells us today, if you hear His voice, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 15, it doesn't mention tomorrow. It mentions today.
Yeah. Yeah.
It mentions in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 2. It mentions now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You notice it don't mention anything about tomorrow. Because there may not be a tomorrow on your calendar. So God is real clear here about today. He mentions Boast not thyself of tomorrow. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, and I do think that's the only time in the whole Word of God that the word tomorrow is found, is in that one verse right there. You hear a lot about morrow, and you hear a lot about two, and then morrow, but in here it's all one word. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, Proverbs 27, verse 1. I don't think that's anywhere else in the Bible, and I don't mind a bit being wrong. Let God be true, let any way be wrong, amen. But he says, you know not what shall be on the morrow. In James chapter 4, verse 14, and he says, because your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And, you know, we're just here for a little time. Paul talked about time is short, days at hand. I'm real good about procrastination. Oh, my. I've been aiming to wash outside of our house for 3 years now. I'm the best at it. Same here. But I'm good. Now that I'm retired, I'm even better. I'm telling her now, I'll do it tomorrow. She goes for it every time. I'll get it done. Here's another progress, man. I'll sit and slap it. Got a little bit of slapping Jerry. I want to know when. My wife said, I want to know when you're going to do it. I said, I'll get it, baby. But you know, it's okay to procrastinate about washing the house, okay to procrastinate about fixing the door, but it's nothing to procrastinate about God. Don't drag your feet.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh my. Bible tells us draw nigh to Him and He'll draw nigh to us.
Amen.
You know, I've run from God for 34 years and I've been running to Him now for 33 years. Boy, I'm glad I have a relationship with Him.
Yes,
you know, I could mention, do you know Elvis Presley, all y'all say, yeah. And I say, well, do you know him personally? He says, well, no, no. And I'm glad I know God personally. I'm glad He knows me personally.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do you know that? He said, I know my sheep by name, and they know my voice. He said, brother, they'll not follow. There in John chapter 10. But anyway, you know, this time, this short time that we have, we need to be good stewards of it. He said, God that gave Jezebel space to repent, He went on to say, that she repented not. There in Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. God says, ask for the old past. Yeah. You know, I hate to say it like this, but the old was better than it is today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We might not have had as much soon, but what we had was enough.
Right.
Now we just can't get enough. No matter what.
That's right.
I checked my checking account. They say it's got a certain amount. I said, that can't be right. They said, yeah, that's right. I don't need a check again, I'm sure. That one I asked about, I told him, I said, I don't want no checks with it. I just want the account on it. Yeah. I just want somewhere to put some money. Because see, it's hard to operate an eBay account without somewhere to have some money. Like, if you see something you want, click buy it. Now, to click buy it, it messes everything up. My wife, it's on her account. She said, I didn't have no money. And I said, why not? She said, I spent it. I said, well, at least you're honest. Anyway, this account is going to be specific. Listen, it ain't all her doing. My son buys on there. My granddaughter buys on there. I buy on there. And she does too, amen. But she wants me to pick up the bill. But anyway, I thank God for the account of God. I want you to know He supplies my needs out of His riches and glory.
Right.
I don't ever have to worry about running out of the account of God. Paul talked about God gives more grace if it's needed. Amen. Just got abundance of everything when it comes to God. Amen. But I do wish we could, you know, somebody probably one of these days, if it could be done, will maybe come up with a time machine. If they could, maybe we could go back to 1808 and we could sing this song again.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm. God gave us America.
Yes, He did.
Oh my. I think we need to wake up. I think we need to ask for the old past. I think some things need to change in America. Oh my. I know some things I ain't going to share with you because they'd scare you. But there's a lot of things going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
That bill they pushed through, that infrastructure bill, it had a lot of stuff hid in it.
Mm-hmm.
That Equality Act got shoved in there.
Yes, it did.
Mm. Yeah. Everything's going up at the price of heaven. Sharon's still free. Yeah. But you know what? God's still on the throne, Bonnie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Still well my soul.
Yes.
You know what? Still well my soul. Mm-hmm. It might get bad down here, but it's getting better up there. Amen. Pretty soon I'm going to get with the better, amen.
Amen.
We'll get out of this mess, amen.
We will be out of this mess pretty soon.
Amen, Brother Ed. Bible said, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see, God made us in His image. Then He made us complete in Christ. And now we're equal to God. You see, to go to heaven, that's how good you got to be.
Yeah.
A lot of good people down here. I won't knock them. But that's not good enough to get to heaven. They got to walk up right alongside Jesus Christ and say, I'm as good as Him. That's what it takes to get to heaven. And they can't do that. We've all come short. But Jesus measured me up. He gave me His righteousness. Paul was a pedigree of a religious person. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, blameless. You know what he did, Sharon? He threw it all away for Christ. He said, count it but dumb. He said, being found in Him, not having my own righteousness,
amen,
but the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm all I need to be. I'm complete in Him. I'm not come behind in anything. I'm telling you, glory to God. Thank God.
Yes.
Father, we thank You for this message today. We thank You, Father, for the thoughts that You gave us, Lord, during this message.
Yes.
Lord, I pray You'll help us all, Lord. Oh, God, help us not to compromise. Help us not to comply with some of the things going on down here, but help us to be steadfast. Help us, Lord, I pray, to stand on the good ground. Lord, to resist some of this stuff going on. Lord, my old man wants to rise up so bad. Help me to crucify him. Help me, Lord, I pray, to be more like You, less like me. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand real quick. A little bit long preaching today. Get Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon. Maybe a verse of invitation on him there. Like I said, don't procrastinate. If you need to do something, right now is the time to do it. A lot of things going on today. And Bible being fulfilled. Time running short. God's hand still outstretched. Door of heaven still wide open with a welcome mat on it. Don't miss heaven for the world. Don't miss it.